Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6 tonight, book of Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read one verse out of this tonight, then we're going to go to several other verses as well to hopefully get a point what God has really laid upon my heart this evening. Yesterday as I was preparing this our lesson this morning, and I rarely get this evening message finished during the week. I usually know the direction I'm going, and I usually wait for Sunday afternoon to type everything up, but God impressed upon my heart as he was just giving me thoughts last night of really me just kind of rehearsing some personal things in my life, how he has worked through me in the last couple years, and really in the last couple weeks as Jeff and I was able to see some things that really meant a lot to me. Tonight I gave this message a title, as I normally do, and it is this: where does Christ fit in your life? Where does Christ fit in your life? And this came about last night for me personally because I begin to think about, where does Christ fit in my life? Where do I put him? Do I exalt him above everything else in life, or do I exalt everything else above him? And it's a question I just began to ask myself last night, and I began to do some meditation upon it. Some verses came into my mind, and hopefully this can make sense to you tonight. So go ahead and book of Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. It says this. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I'm just going to go off on this verse tonight to help me get across tonight what God has laid upon my heart. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, as we go through your word, what a privilege it is for us to be able to open it. Lord, it might be sad to realize tonight that maybe some of us have never opened up the word until today. God, I pray if that's the case that you would begin to make your word something more real in our life, to where we have such a great desire to open it up and be able to see the truth from your pages that you have preserved for us. God, tonight, as you have really dealt in my life recently and in some areas in my life that, Lord, I just want to share with your folks tonight. I pray, Lord, that it would be enlightening to some. I pray, Lord, it would be an encouragement to some. And, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to examine where we are at spiritually. Lord, we have yet to attain everything in life when it comes to the spiritual walk. We have not achieved everything. And so, God, tonight I pray that you just watch over us, guide and protect us, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Tonight is going to be I'll be honest with you, it's going to be a very basic message, and that is this: where does Christ fit in your life? Now, I know personally where Christ fits in my life. I know personally where I have left him out of my life, so I'm not able to answer that question for you tonight. Only you can begin to examine where you have put Christ in your life. We can take a look around, and I'm not talking about the world, because obviously the world doesn't have a desire to live for Christ. And so their thoughts are not going to be on him. Their thoughts are not about trying to fit him in their life. They're total opposite. Matter of fact, they're doing everything they can to get away from him. Not only does this take place in our country, great states that we live in America, but that also takes place in the land of Israel, to be honest with you. You'd be surprised how little they think of Jesus over there, and it will astound you. And so I'm not talking about just the world, but I'm talking tonight, where does Christ fit in your life? I'm talking mainly with believers. And what we see is that a majority of God's people not having any time for him. And that's sad when you begin to think about how people have lost their desire for some reason not to have Jesus Christ in their life. You know, the choice is up to us to have him in our life. And I believe one of the first things that has really, excuse me, come to my mind as I was beginning to think about this, and I began to ask myself a question: so why has Christ really been put on the back burner? Why hasn't he been uplifted in our life? Why hasn't he Why haven't we allowed him to be first in our life? And I think it comes down to verse number 33 in this. It says, but seek ye first, what's it say? The kingdom of God. I believe we have it backwards in our world today. And I'm talking amongst believers. I'm not talking about the world right now. I'm talking about us as believers. I believe that we are not seeking the kingdom of God. I personally believe we're trying to seek our own pleasures. And I said it this morning, things that we're trying to accomplish here on earth, for not for God's gain, not for Jesus' gain, but we're trying to do it for our own personal gain. And I'm not trying to downplay those things. And I'm not trying to say that those things aren't important, because there are some things that are of great importance. But when they take the place of Christ in our life, there is a problem. You heard Pastor say this morning from the pulpit, and I totally agree with him as he was talking about his relationship with his wife. As he said, you know, honey, you're not first in my life. God is. Little did he know the direction that God was taking me in tonight. Where does Christ fit in our life? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then it says, in his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I believe we're doing ourselves a great disservice tonight as believers by not seeking the kingdom of God. As I begin to explain this a little bit further as we go along, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 20. We are there this morning just for a little bit during Sunday school. We talked about the fifth commandment, about how children are to honor and obey your mothers and fathers. And had a good time on that this morning. But God has led me back here again this evening for this. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 20, every time I say Exodus, my Bible automatically flips to Genesis for some reason. But in the book of Exodus, chapter number 20, we see here in verse number 1, let's read this. I'm going to read this down through verse number 3. It says, and God spake all these words, saying, first of all, let me just tell you what this verse is saying. God's talking about this personally. He's saying, this is what I want you to do. This is what I'm seeking for you to do. Matter of fact, this is what I am commanding you to do. Verse number 2 says, I am the Lord thy God, which I brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And what does it say here in verse number 3? It says, thou shalt have, say it with me, no other gods before me. I believe we have a problem trying to fit Christ in our walk as a believer is because we're not searching for God, we're searching for the gods of this world. And we read here in Scripture that God is saying, hey, you're my children, you're my people. As a matter of fact, I know he's talking to the Jews here, but I want you to understand something. Because of the rejection of the Jews of Jesus Christ, we now have the privilege to accept Christ as a Savior. Now we have become his if we accept him. And now, with that being said, he is what? He is our God. And so we should not be searching for other gods of this world. Can anybody just real quickly give me a brief description of a god that we might be thinking of tonight that takes our eyes off of God himself? Anybody, real quick. Our phones. You know, let me stop here real quick. Do you know, I did a research on this. This is about 2 years ago. The average person looks at their phone over 100 times a day. Over 100 times a day that the average person will pick up their cell phone and begin to look at it. They might be doing some research on there. They might be doing Facebook time. They might be playing their games, whatever they do. But think about that. That is, I'm glad you brought that up, Sherry, because that is designed specifically to do what? To take our minds off of who? To take our minds off of God and to put our minds on a little God that is right in front of us. And then we begin to serve that God. You know, most people are in bondage to their phones. Think about that. So a phone has been designed to take our eyes off of God. It has become our little God. Anybody else? TV. Television is designed, again, to do what? Captivate our minds with visions that we have never seen before. And it's able to draw us in on a daily basis. And people spend, I did a research on this years ago, and I can't remember. I think it was about 12 hours a day on television. That is insane when you begin to think about that. You might be saying, well, we got 24 hours in a day, so that just divides the day up. I got 12 hours here, then I got 12 hours elsewhere. But let me ask you a question. As it was said about the phones and it said about television, what is those things doing? It's taking our time away from God. And because it's taking our time and drawing our time away from God, what is taking place? We are saying, God, we do not have a place for you in our life right now. As a matter of fact, God, you do not fit into my lifestyle right now because we are not seeking the kingdom of God. But his word says here in Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why does he say that? Because one, he is a jealous God, and he wants you to have full attention upon him. Amen. So we got phones, we got television. Anybody else want to throw something out there real quick? What's that? Money. You know, money's not bad, but if you have a love for money, that's when it becomes an issue. That's when it becomes, the love of money is what? The root of all evil. God has designed us to have money so that we can purchase things, but when that is something that we are drawn to, that takes our mind off of Christ. I was talking to Logan here a few weeks ago, and he was talking about his brother, and I can say this, his brother's not watching us tonight, and I know those things. His brother is involved in a job in the medical field that he's constantly selling stuff to hospitals, to pharmacies, and things of that nature. He's got an average salary of $350,000 a year. But this guy has no time for anything else. He has no time to get married. He's been engaged for several years. He has no time to do anything. Matter of fact, you want to know, hear something sad? He was supposed to fly into Kansas City last week to surprise his mother that was there already visiting Logan to spend Mother's Day with him. But you know what kept him away? His job. His job, because he has a love for money. Money is designed to, again, keep our thoughts off of God. Can Christ fit in our lives if we seek other gods? It's going to be very difficult. Because we're saying we have more of a focus upon them than we do him. So Exodus 20 says very clearly, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Colossians tonight, Colossians chapter number 3. Again, understand, these are some thoughts that God was giving me last night in some areas in my life that I know that I need to work on personally. And I'm glad that he convicts me of these things. But in Colossians chapter 3, in verse number 1 through 4, let's read this. It says this, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So now, as we bring Exodus 20, chapter verse number 3 into this, we talked about having no other gods before thee. Colossians says here that we are to do what? We are to set our affections on the things of this earth. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that. So since it doesn't say that, then why do we live that way? Why are we setting our affections on this world? Have we forgotten that this world is going to pass from us? Have we forgotten that we are just pilgrims in this land? We're strangers, we're passing through. Have we forgotten those things? I believe personally that we have, because we're setting our affections not on things above, but we're setting our affections here upon this earth. Matter of fact, there is a group, mainly a lot of evangelicals, will say this is our kingdom right here, right now. This is our heaven. And that's not the case. And you'll see them setting their affections on the things of this world and not setting their affections on the things above. Well, how can we set our affections on the things above? Well, I want you to think about this. You guys know that I'm big on getting the message out to a world that desperately needs it. That's where we need to be setting our affections. You see, I can't go in my life and begin to take my golf clubs with me to heaven. I can't do that. That would be foolish of me to be thinking that way. I can't to begin to put that above God. But that's what we do. But we need to be setting our minds on things above. And how can we do that? One, first of all, we need to be in God's Word on a daily basis. Second, our minds need to be geared towards trying to bring others with us. That's what it needs to be geared for. Let me say something out loud. I don't want you to answer this because I don't want anybody to be embarrassing here. But with that being said, when was the last time you led somebody to the Lord? If you got to go back in your mind, and if you got to sit there and say, well, it's maybe been a year, maybe it's been 5 years, maybe it's been 10 years, there's something wrong with that picture. What's wrong with that picture? What are you setting your affections upon? Where does Christ fit in your life? You know, we can look at our own lives and we can automatically, as we begin to go through it, we can probably sit there automatically and just go, hey, I know exactly where Christ fits in my life because I'm living a life that's not pleasing to Him. I'm living a life that I'm wanting to live, and everything that I've been taught, everything that I've been told that how I need to live my life, I'm doing the total opposite of. And so we decide for some reason, Christ just, he doesn't fit here right now because here's a word I'm going to use. Christ doesn't fit in my life right now because it's an inconvenience. It's an inconvenience. You know, some people don't show up to church on Wednesday night or Sunday nights because it's inconvenient for them. It interferes with their family time. Can I say something before I go on? This is my family. As soon as I got saved, I became a part of the family of God. And this means more to me, and don't get me wrong, brothers and sisters, mom and dad, aunt and uncles, this means more to me than my blood family. It truly does. But it's become an inconvenience to put Christ into our life. Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you may, to the book of Romans, chapter number 8, as we continue to go on here. Again, please understand, this is what God was revealing to me in my life last night as I'm looking forward here. The book of Romans, chapter number 8, and I say this for a reason, because I don't want you to think, well, Chad, you're being very harsh tonight. No, I had an awakening last night. God was speaking to me, not audibly, but God was speaking to my heart. God was speaking to my mind and began to give these things to me. The book of Romans chapter 8, verse number 5, says this, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." And so here's where I came to a conclusion with this just a little bit. Maybe we were having a hard time fitting Christ in our life is for this reason. Because we're seeking the things of the flesh. And let's be honest with ourselves. We do that on a daily basis, do we not? I'll give you a prime example. Why did I have such a desire to go to Israel? Because I'm trying to please my flesh. Because it was something that I desperately so wanted to do, and I wasn't going to allow anything to get in the way because I was trying to feed my flesh. We do those things. And so with that being said, we feed our flesh on a daily basis. But here's what we need to do. Instead of trying to feed our flesh, here's what we need to do. We need to try to feed our what? Our spirits. Our spirits. What do you mean? We should have a desire, a great desire, to have God's word read daily. I was talking to somebody this week, and a great man, and he was telling me, he goes, "Chad, I feel like I'm a lukewarm Christian right now." And I was glad for his admittance, and I said to him, "We all go through this." And the reason why we go through this is because we have flesh and we try to feed our flesh. And I'm glad he's recognizing this because, and what he told me says, I feel like I'm lukewarm because the desire that I used to have to get in God's word and to read it is not there right now. And that happens. Why does that happen? Because here's what takes place. We allow our flesh to be fed by other things, and we don't take time to feed the spirit that needs to be fed. How can Christ fit into our life effectively when all we're trying to do is setting our affections on the things of the earth, and we set the affection on the things of this world for this reason, because we're feeding the flesh. Now, I'm going to ask another question. Please don't answer this out loud. When was the last time that you really met business with God and you opened his word on a daily basis? Now, some might not open their word until they get to church, until the pastor or the preacher preaches the word of God to them. And that might be some here. I don't know those things. I do know that it is changing. I have seen a change in the last 3 years in a country that I visited 3 years ago. Jeff didn't get the privilege of seeing this, but 3 years ago when I visited Israel, it was common to walk around, even out in the streets and even in the hotels, where people had the Word of God. Sitting on chairs or sitting in a park bench, just reading the Word of God. And this time around, and I don't know if you saw it, but I didn't see it. I didn't see a person doing that this time around. See, there's been a change that has taken place within the last 3 years. And what's that change doing? Well, where's it coming from? It's coming from people feeding the flesh instead of feeding their spirit. Guilty. Guilty. We might as well just admit it tonight. We might as well just take off our pious look and just come to God and come to church and just say, "God, I'm guilty of these things. I have not put you first in my life. I don't know where you fit in because I'm not allowing you to fit in. And God, I stand before you guilty." Boy, if we could just admit those things tonight, our walk with him would be so much better. And with that being said, our unity with one another would be even greater. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians tonight. Book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Where does Christ fit into your life? We're going to read four verses actually. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses number 17 through verse number 20. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ..." Say this with me. "He is a new creature." Okay, I want you to hold that thought. Okay, let's continue reading here. It says, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Okay, verse number 17, we have become what? We have become a new creature. But it's hard for us, think with me for a minute, it's hard for us to allow Christ to fit into our lives where we want him to fit when we're not allowing our old life to pass away. Again, we're flesh feeders. We feed the flesh. And we're constantly bringing our old life back into a lifestyle that is not designed to live for God that way. Why? Because, as the Word of God says here at the end of verse number 20, we're no longer representatives of this world. We're no longer ambassadors of this world. But who we are ambassadors for? We're ambassadors for Christ. So in order for us to allow Christ to fit into our lives where he needs to be, here's what needs to take place. Allow the old life to pass away. Allow it to pass away. Go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. We are here this morning just for a little bit, but let's revisit this verse. But book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Again, our theme tonight, where does Christ fit into your life? Let's read verse number 1 down to verse number 2. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." What does running with patience mean? It means walking. Let's think about this. We don't have the stamina to run for 15, 20 minutes, but we do have the stamina to walk. Verse number 2, it says this, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Here's what we need to do in order for us to get to a point in our life to have Christ to be a part of our life. Here's what we need to do. It says in verse number 2, say those three words with me, looking unto Jesus. If you want Christ to fit into your life, then you need to look to him. You need to look to him. And by looking to him, what Paul says as well, we're going to die daily. We need to look to him. Well, what do we need to look to him for? Well, I can think of a few reasons just off the top of my head. Guidance. We need guidance. You go to the land of Israel by yourself, you'll get lost very easy. Because why? You need a guide. You need a guide to guide you around through the old streets of Jerusalem, which a lot of you folks might not think that it's very big, but there's at least 30,000 occupants inside there, and you can get lost very easily. Matter of fact, as we went back there on our free day, I'm usually pretty good at my directions, and I happen to be pretty good at my directions. But we allowed another guy that was already there three times before us lead us, and guess where he got us? He got us lost. And then Jeff says, "Well, Chad's pretty good at his directions." Like, well, I'm in Israel right now. I don't know. But we need him to guide us. Why? Because that pathway that we're on, without his guidance, we can become lost. And we need to put him into our life by doing this, by looking to him. Amen? Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And we've been through this in our Sunday school class, and we're almost done with the book of Ephesians. Looking forward to that probably next week, maybe. But in the book of Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to look at verse number 22 through verse number 24. Remember, our old life should be dead because Christ died for that. And so that old lifestyle should be passed away. But sometimes we have a problem allowing Christ to fit in our life for this reason. Verse number 22 says, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." You know why we have a hard time of allowing Christ to fit in our life? It's for this reason. It's our old conversation. What do you mean? Well, let's think about this. Before Christ, our conversation wasn't pleasing. It wasn't glorifying to God. Matter of fact, we can all agree to this, that our old conversation was a conversation that mocked God, that ridiculed God, and with that being said, it mocked other people as well. But here's something that still takes place. Our old conversation still comes forth. And there will be times that we will continue to mock God, we'll continue to ridicule God, and then, let's think about this, because this hasn't stopped, we ridicule and we mock each other. And we talk and gossip about each other behind our back. And when those things are taking place, because that old conversation that likes to appear its old ugly head in front of us, we give into that, and here's what we're saying. God, you don't fit in my life right now. Because I'm having such a good time being a negative Nancy or a Debbie Downer to everybody around me. And so I just don't have time for you right now. Matter of fact, God, because I'm enjoying this so much, I'm just going to put you back here on the shelf that doesn't even exist in my house. Where does God fit in your life? Again, these are things that God is dealing with me in some areas. Our old conversation takes us away from God. Because our old conversation is what? It's evolved around the world. Think about your old life before you became Jesus Christ. So in order to fit Christ in our lives, the old conversation must be passed away. And then here's what needs to take place next. We need to continue to put on the new man. Here's what we need to do. We need to wake up every single day and we need to say this. Old man. I just had a thought. I look in the mirror and I see an old man at times. But here's what we need to do. Old man. Because of what you've done to me in the past, you've drug me down, you've drug others down along the way. You haven't been glorifying to God, you haven't been edifying other believers. And so, old man, you stay exactly where you're at. I don't want you to follow me. And then we decide right then and there is that old man's place. He's there, he's in his place. And we say, God, I'm going to put you in my life today. I want you to fit in this area of my life. I want this whole life to be yours, God. And so, I'm choosing today to put on the new man. Old man, stay where you're at. And as we begin to put on the new man and we begin to go about our day, guess what takes place? The old man tries to creep in. But here's what we got to do. When that old man tries to creep in, we go like this. Get back. You're not allowed. Jalen, did I do that karate kick right? No, I didn't. You're not allowed. Don't be a part of my life because I'm focusing on having God in my life. I'm trying to have a God-centered life, and I want the new man to be on me. That's what we need to do. But we struggle with those things. And I'm going to be honest with you. We all struggle with them. Don't sit there and think for a moment that a pastor and a missionary don't struggle with these things because they do. I've had the privilege to talk to several missionaries, and I begin to ask them the questions and just to drill them a little bit. And I've had more than enough say this, Chad, we deal with the exact same things that you deal with. And I'm like, oh, praise God, you're not perfect. Because automatically we think missionaries and pastors are perfect people, and they're not. They deal with the old man too. But let me tell you this, it's a choice to deal with them. Go ahead and turn to your Bibles, the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 1 tonight. Book of 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Verse number 2, it says this. I wrote the wrong verse down. Imagine that. I've done that on many occasions. Well, Here's a thought that I had. And it's not here in Scripture, so I'm going to give you my thought that God gave me. If you want God to fit in your life, you need to do this. Be faithful. Be faithful. Turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 46. Psalms chapter 46, we have one more verse that we're going to turn to after this, and then we'll close tonight. Psalms chapter number 46, we're going to read verse number 10. As soon as I get there, I will read this for you. Verse number 10, it says this. It's an important verse to understand. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." God desperately wants to be a part of our lives. He wants to fit in. But what makes it impossible for this to take place on many different occasions is because of this. You and I are too busy. We're too busy trying to do this. 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 And we forget to take time out and be still and know who God is. I wish I can get you to a place in Israel called En Gedi. Jeff's had the privilege of seeing it. It's a place where David was trying to hide from his captor Saul at the time. But I also believe it was a place where David spent some time with God, where he was alone. The scenery around there is not like what you're going to picture in your mind. It's not all flowery and roses. Matter of fact, it's nothing but a steep terrace. Many caves inside this mount right there. But at the bottom of this mount where David was at, there's a little stream that goes through there. Some of the purest water that I've ever seen run through a stream until I've seen people's feet in it. But I kid you not, this place is peaceful. And I believe David at that time, and I'm not saying this is where he wrote this psalm at, but I can just imagine during this time, because he did write some psalms there in En Gedi, that he was taking the time to be still for this reason, to know who God is. We have a hard time allowing God to fit in our lives because of this reason. We're not allowing ourselves to be still. I had a neighbor a few years ago. She passed away at the age of 95, 96, something like that. Sweet lady, Jeff knows her. Pauline. Pauline was her name. And I remember when I first moved in there, I guessed her age, and she said, if I guess her age, she gets to kiss me. And I guessed her age because I knew it, and yes, I wanted to be kissed by an older lady. And we developed a great friendship together. But I remember one thing she was telling me a few years after we moved in. She says, "Chad," she goes, "I don't know where young people are at today." She goes, "They're so busy. They're doing this, that, and the other thing, and they have no time for anybody else." Years later, as I begin to think about that, you know, that's us. We're so busy, we're not allowing ourselves to think about God and to be still and to know who He is. Let's go to our last verse here in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And again, I'm giving you practical verses tonight, very simple. Verse number 4, let's read this. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And here's what verse number 5 says. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." As I begin to get to this last verse here last night, I begin to think about this, me, myself personally. Maybe I'm having a hard time allowing God to fit into my life for this reason. Maybe it's because of this verse right here. Maybe it's because I'm not loving the Lord with all my heart. What do you mean? There are so many things in this world that we allow our attention to go to, where we allow ourselves to get distracted. And I believe when we're doing that, I'm just being honest with you right now, I believe when we're doing those things, we're saying this: I love those things more than I love God. All God wants us to do, He wants to fit into our lives, but we push Him away. And I believe we push Him away for this reason: we don't love Him with all of our heart. Last night, as I come to this conclusion, I begin to think to myself and I begin to talk to God, Lord, do I truly love you with all my heart? And you know the answer I came up with? No, I don't. And that's all He wants. I do love Him. I do care for Him. But I'll be honest with you, I haven't loved Him with all my heart. And you know what? If you want to be frank tonight, we're all guilty. You might be saying, oh, I knew it, Chad. I knew you didn't love Him with all. No, we're all guilty. We're all guilty. Where does Christ fit into your life?